In the portion of Scripture that we were reading together from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, there are just a few verses that really are at the very heart and center of the portion that we read. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, I'm thinking in particular of verses 10, 11 and 12, and I'm going to read them again to you from verse 10. "And the angel said unto them," that is, unto the shepherds that were in the field, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This was the word of the angel to the shepherds. It really took this word to give some kind of understanding to them concerning all that had just happened, all that had just taken place. They did need to have a right interpretation of all of the events that had unfolded. Here they are in the fields, just shepherds, watching the flocks of sheep. And then suddenly the angel of the Lord comes and makes this announcement, the announcement that we have just read here in these verses 10, 11 and 12. We don't know how many shepherds were there. There may have been quite a number of them. We're not told the number, that's not important. Nor are we given any indication of their names. Again, that's really not important. But the word that was spoken to them by the angel, that is all important. Who were these shepherds? I think it's fair to say that they were most probably Jews. And they would also be aware that at that particular time, their land was under Roman rule. And hence a decree had gone forth from the Roman authorities for everyone to be enrolled. What did that mean? It meant simply that the head of the family had to go to the place of his origin, and he would there enroll himself and his family. In fact, we are reading of that in this second chapter of Luke's Gospel from verse 3. "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." And then this announcement comes to these shepherds after the birth of the Lord Jesus there in the manger at Bethlehem. What an announcement it is. It's identifying very clearly the glorious person of the one who's born. Read there in verse 11 of Christ the Lord. The place of his birth is obviously Bethlehem. And the purpose for which he has been born into the world is also announced. And it is that he has come as the Saviour. And it's just this announcement, this all-important announcement that I want to consider with you just for a little while, this announcement that was made to these shepherds. And as we come to consider the shepherds and this announcement that they heard there in the fields, the open fields, I tried to picture that this morning as I was coming across to Londonderry, and I saw lots of sheep in the field, and I was just trying to picture in my mind's eye what it must have been like that night whenever that angel appeared. Not much wonder those shepherds were really afraid. They were really terrified. But they heard this announcement, and the first thing I want to draw your attention to is simply their response. Their response to it. We hear many announcements, don't we, of one kind and another, particularly in these days in which we're living with the pandemic. I'm sure you're listening in to the news bulletins, and this announcement's made, and another announcement's made, and maybe another announcement then is made, and it seems to be a little contradictory to a previous announcement or whatever. But nevertheless, there are so many announcements that are being made, and well, you know your response to those announcements, what you think, what you feel, according to the words that's in the announcement that you have just listened to. Well, these shepherds heard this announcement by the angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord came from heaven and made this announcement. Don't lose sight of that. an angel of the Lord appeared and made this announcement to these shepherds who were in the field watching over the flock of sheep. But what's their response? Well, as they listen to it, what are they told? They're told that there's one born in the city of David. They're told that he's a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And not only that, they are also told that there's a very unique and unusual sign that is being given to them concerning this great reality, this great fact of the birth of Christ the Lord. And what is it? It is that the incarnate God, because that's who Jesus Christ is, he is God incarnate, God manifest in flesh, the incarnate God would be wrapped as any other peasant child would be wrapped, just in swaddling clothes. And as they hear this announcement, as they listen to it, what is their response? Do they believe it? Well, obviously they do. They did believe what they heard in the announcement that was made concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we could say, unquestionably, they had faith in the word that they heard. They believed the word that came to them, and they gave every evidence of having believed it. It wasn't a question of saying, oh, well, I think we believe that. But what they did showed beyond any doubt that they actually believed in their hearts what this announcement had just said concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. They had faith in the word of God. You'll notice in verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. That is the heavenly host that also appeared. As the angels went back into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. The shepherds said one to another. And the sense, before I read any more of the verse, the sense there of those words, the shepherds said one to another, means that they were continually saying. They were continually saying the one to the other. What were they continually saying one to another? Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So the angel makes this announcement to these shepherds, who were most probably Jews. And being Jews, they would have had an acquaintance with the Old Testament scriptures. I wonder, would they have had an acquaintance with what we read in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2? Listen to these words. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That was a prophecy over in Micah, the Old Testament scriptures, concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his birth has now actually taken place. It has occurred. And these shepherds have heard this announcement by the angel of the Lord. And being Jews, I wonder in their minds, were they tying in the announcement and what they heard with what they had already been acquainted with over there in the book of Micah, in the prophecy of Micah? The one who's going to come forth to rule, the one who is from Ancient of Days, the one who comes out of Bethlehem, Judah. Ah, yes, but he was coming forth out of Bethlehem, Judah. But prior to that, he was coming forth out of the womb of eternity, because he had everlasting deity. He is God from eternity, God manifest in flesh. And though they may have read that in the prophecy of Micah, and they knew it, yet now it's being revealed to them. It's being revealed to them. And it's being revealed to them in this announcement that the angel of the Lord has made. You see, it's so important when we hear the word of God that we get that word revealed to our hearts, Sadly, there are many who hear the word, but the word just comes to the outer ear. It's not the word that's actually revealed in their very heart. And that word that they heard concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus, made by the angel of the Lord, that was now a living word in their hearts. A living word in their hearts. Think of it. The Lord was working here in a very wonderful way. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean by that that the Lord moved the heart. Yes, he did. He moved the heart of a heathen king. And he moved the heart of the entire Roman government to bring the mother of the baby Jesus to Bethlehem at that particular time. So we should not believe those who might tell us that prayer is wasted time to the Lord to move the hearts of governments, because he can do it so easily. As he pleases, as he chooses, he can choose his moment, and he always does. It's never too late, it's never too soon. As someone has said, the Lord is always on time. And we can see it here, in all that he brought about. Yes, he brought Mary here at this very time. And these shepherds, now this is their response when they hear it, they desire to go to Bethlehem. Why were they doing that? They were doing that because they were absolutely certain that what they had heard was true. They weren't going to set off on the journey and say, oh, well, maybe what we've heard here is not true at all. They really believed it in their hearts concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Savior. Do you believe that in your heart? That you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior in your heart. So they were convinced totally that the word spoken was true and that the Savior was born. So they had faith in the word. This is part of their response. But also, you find that they're in obedience. They're in obedience to the word. Because they're now going to Bethlehem. After the angels, the heavenly hosts, have gone back to heaven, they are now setting out to go as far as Bethlehem. You say, did that cause them any particular problems? I don't know what problems it might have caused them. Maybe there was the problem of distance, but they weren't going to let that put them off. Maybe there had been the thought, a dangerous part of the way to Bethlehem. Who knows? That might have entered into their mind, but that didn't put them off. Then they might have thought, well, if we depart and we leave the sheep, after all, they're shepherds. They're there to watch over the sheep, to guard the sheep, to keep the sheep safe. What if, when we depart, something happens to the sheep? Something takes place and we're not here. But again, that must have been, if a thought did occur, it subsided in their minds quickly. They're going to Bethlehem. There might even have been doubts as to what would happen on their return if something had happened to those sheep that they had left. But those doubts are not going to weigh so heavily as they will refuse to go to Bethlehem. You see, all of these considerations, if they were there in their minds at all, none of those considerations deterred them. And when the angel said to them, this shall be the sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. they recognized in those words an implicit command to go to Bethlehem. Can you see that? They recognized in those words an implicit command to go to Bethlehem. Why else would they have been told that? And they could see that which was told them. They could see that which was spoken unto them. And you'll notice the pace with which they went and made their way. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste. They came with haste. You can just imagine them really travelling as fast as they could at that time. They wouldn't have the modern means of transport that we have today, but nevertheless, it is recorded and it's true. They were coming with haste. They hasted. And what did they find when they came? Exactly what the Lord had said to them by the announcement made unto them by the angel from heaven. And so they observed with their eyes what they had already observed by unquestioned faith in the word they heard. They had unquestioned faith in that word. And now they go forth in the pathway of obedience in the light of that word. And they now actually see with physical eyes what they had seen with the eyes of faith. In this case, sight was the confirmation of their faith. It wasn't the way into faith. They didn't say, well, we'll go and when we see, we'll believe. Oh no. We believe. Therefore, we will go and we will see. So this was the response of faith. This response of faith. Something else about their response. We've thought about their faith in the word that they heard. We've thought about the obedience that they gave to that word that they heard, that implicit command that was there in the announcement. But then what about their proclamation? Notice verse 17 of Luke chapter 2. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They made known. What did they make known? What they had heard concerning the child Jesus. They made known the word that had revealed unto their hearts the Christ of God. And this is what they were talking about. This is what really was in their conversation so much to the fore, and they're going forth to proclaim this word to others. Because how does salvation come? Salvation comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we go forth and proclaim God's salvation, that poor sinners might hear, that they might believe on Jesus Christ and be saved from their sins. And here is the incarnate Lord, God's Messiah, the promised one of Micah chapter 5, born in Bethlehem. This word that came to these shepherds, this word that has been confirmed in their hearts, now they're going to sound it forth. They're going to sound it forth. You see, when all else would pass away, and the angel that came to make the announcement went back to heaven, that angel wasn't with them any longer in that sense. That heavenly host that also came at the Savior's birth, that heavenly host, those angels went back to heaven. They were no longer with them. And who is left? Just humble shepherds. Just humble shepherds. And they could not but speak the things that they had seen and the things that they had heard, because their hearts were filled with the glory of God. And they were now going forth to proclaim the good news of the Savior's birth, the one born to save us from our sins. Well, that brings me then in the second place to speak to you about the reaction. The reaction to the proclamation that they made. I wonder how it was received. You notice verse 18 it says, "And all they that heard it wondered." This was the proclamation that they were making, these shepherds. "All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." It's the word "wondered" that I draw your attention to. It can mean marveled. So we could read it that way. They marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. We have instances in the scriptures where there are those who, on hearing concerning the gospel, they wonder. They marvel. For example, in an earlier chapter, or a later chapter in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 4, we read there of those who wondered, who marveled, as the word was going forth. Whenever Paul was coming to preach at Antioch, over in Acts chapter 13 and verse 41, there were those who were marveling, there were those who were wondering. But you see, they were marveling and they were wondering in unbelief. Unbelief. And there are many today who hear the gospel and they may wonder, they may marvel, but they're doing it all in unbelief. But I say that to emphasize the great contrast. The great contrast with Mary. Because when we read those words in verse 18, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds," verse 19 begins with the word "but." So there's a contrast with verse 18, the words of verse 19. But Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, but Mary kept all these things. All these things, all that she'd heard, and pondered them in her heart. You notice that? She pondered them in her heart. She treasured them all up in her heart. So Mary wasn't taken up with anything other than this. You say, well, why would you make the point? Well, I would make the point for this reason. Mary had a visitation from an angel. Hadn't she? She had a visitation from an angel. Over there in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." She had an angelic visitation. We might think, well, having had an angelic visitation, wouldn't she just be taken up completely with that and always with that? And with hardly anything else at all other than that? An angel visited me? But here's Mary, keeping all these things, treasuring them up in her heart. The one through whom the incarnate God came. Oh, she had come to faith in the accomplished redemption of Christ. The very same way that you must come. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. No other way. We can't get to heaven any other way. And Mary wouldn't get to heaven any other way other than in believing on the one who is her Savior. Have you believed to the saving of your soul? Can you say that the Lord Jesus, He is my Savior? He's my Redeemer? Mary, what a contrast. And then think also that Mary, she was part of that number waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit that we read of over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. The words are these. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. She's there with 120, waiting for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. So Mary isn't some co-redemptorist. Mary isn't some co-mediator, mediatrix. Oh, she's set before us as a noble woman, yes, but a woman fallen in Adam, who needed salvation brought to her by her own Son, who was God incarnate in the flesh. And she treasured up the word concerning the Savior in her heart. You see, the visit of the angel to her at an earlier time wasn't the way of faith. That wasn't the way of faith, the visit of the angel. It never is. It never can be. We must come and believe the word, God's word, God's word that he has revealed. And that's what Mary did. I wonder what your reaction is to the word of God. What is your reaction to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it to believe it and receive it into your heart? You see, she had many responsibilities, hadn't she, Mary? But it's obvious that she took time. She took time in the midst of her busyness just to pay heed to the word of God and to treasure that word up in her heart. So that was something of the reaction to the proclamation of the shepherds. But then let me, in the third and final place, draw your attention to the result. The result of their faith and obedience. The result of their faith and obedience. We have it in verse 20 of Luke chapter 2. And the shepherds returned. Yes, they return. They've come back from Bethlehem. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That's the result of their faith and obedience. Do you see it? Glorifying and praising God. Now, where were they returning to when they came back from Bethlehem? Well, they were returning to their place of labor, their place of work. Yeah, their place of work. They were shepherds. They're just going back to their work. No more angels. No more of the heavenly host. Just grass and sheep. Yeah. Oh, you say just grass and sheep? I say that for this reason. For these shepherds, they were going back to life in all of its ordinariness. Yeah. They were just going back to their work. Life in all of its ordinariness, and they had no hesitation in so doing. And as they're going back, they're glorifying and they're praising God, because their hearts are filled with joy. And you see, the joy that's in their hearts wasn't dependent just upon the circumstances. If the joy in the heart is only dependent upon the circumstances, then when the circumstances change and are unfavorable, the joy dissipates, doesn't it? But when the joy of the Lord is in the heart, even in the most difficult of times, even in the most adverse of circumstances, that joy remains. They had no more angels, no more of the Shekinah glory. We don't have the angels that we can see. We don't have the Shekinah glory that we can see, as these shepherds saw. But we have got the very same word, haven't we? We have got the very same word that the shepherds had. So therefore, this is the word that never changes. All those years ago, this word's still the same, because it's God's word, the word of the God who never changes. And we're coming, if the Lord spares us very swiftly to the close of another year. Soon, this year will be over. It'll be an eternity. And if the Lord spares us, we'll be thinking and contemplating entering into a new year. And obviously, for so many, towards the end of a year, we reflect a little, don't we? We recall a little, and no doubt we'll reflect immensely on this year and all that's been taking place and all that's been happening. And this Christmas season, we have to face up to it. It'll soon pass. It'll soon be over. But we've got to ask ourselves, in this year, as it's swiftly closing, even in the midst of this Christmas season that will soon pass and be over for another year, what have we captured of the Word? What have we captured of the Word of God? Is the Word more precious to us now than it was at the beginning of this year? Have we seen some more wonderful views of Christ in the Word than we saw last year? Have we, in our hearts, been drawn closer to the Lord than what we were even last year? We're not going to have any more direct revelations, such as the shepherds had, by way of an angel coming from heaven. We've been thinking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus at this time of the year, don't we? But there's His second coming. His second coming. He came the first time in the midst of poverty. But He's coming the second time in great power and with great glory. Is He your Savior? The Christ of God, the one who was born as the helpless babe in human terms, lying in a manger. We pointed out, and it was read to us in the Scriptures, He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the very clothes that you would wrap a dead body in, because He came to die. That was His purpose in coming into this world. And while the world may look at Christmas time in another light from what the believer does, you can't really look upon the birth of the Savior without even in that seeing the shadow of the cross. The shadow of the cross, because He came to die. And He came to die for a sinner like you and a sinner like me, that our sins would be forgiven, because we can't get to heaven without our sins forgiven. We can't. And you won't. That's why you need to come and trust the Savior. Because He made an atonement for your sins. He provides cleansing for all your sins. But you have to come to Him. You have to trust Him. You have to believe on Him. May you come and trust Him today and make Him yours.